Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of In the Money, especially to welcome back to our live event viewers from the OCC event for a special episode of In the Money. My name is Andrew McGowan, part of the Trading Strategy Desk here at Fidelity. Normally on In the Money, we get to spend almost a half hour or so talking about headline news, looking for a few trade ideas. But for this episode, we actually get to each other for the better part of an hour to not only look at those things, but also a tool demonstration to showcase how these trades can be traded and monitored in our brand new trading platform, Fidelity Trader Plus. So if this is your first time joining us, welcome. With me today, as always, is Tony Zhang, Chief Strategy Officer and co-founder over there at Options Play. Tony, it's been a very interesting and volatile week since the last time that you and I spoke. Glad to have you back on. How have you been?
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrew. We haven't seen this much volatility in quite some time. So it's a lot to navigate and look through. So I'm glad that we're going to have a conversation about that.
Absolutely. It's great you're back again to share your insights with the clients here at Fidelity. It's a Thursday, November 20th, and there's a lot happening in the market. We've seen the S&P fading over the last few days into some major earnings announcements. We've seen quite some moves today, all things considered. So I know many traders and investors are doing their best to manage that risk through this dynamic market environment. So with that being said, Tony, what are your current macroeconomic views and what developments are you watching?
We certainly have seen some weakness here in equities, but more importantly, we've seen weakness across the entire range of risk assets. We've seen equities, we've seen gold, we've seen crypto and bonds all together selling off simultaneously. That's a pretty significant change in sentiment that we've seen over the last call it 5 or 6 weeks that started to accelerate here in the last couple of weeks. There's certainly rising concerns around, number one, the weakening labor market. That's been a big concern, at least of mine, over the last 5 or 6 months. That just continues to move in the wrong direction. And this morning, we did see some potentially positive news out of the labor market. But we'll dive into that here in a second. We also have elevated yields. That's starting to become more and more of a problem for companies that rely on the debt market to sustain kind of their growth. Because despite multiple rate cuts, we continue to see rates remain fairly stubbornly high. And then you add on top of that the sheer amount that these tech companies are spending, capital expenditure for to try to grow their AI dominance. Markets are certainly getting a lot more concerned around that spend and whether or not and when they could potentially make their return on investment. So that's been kind of the major backdrop that we've been concerned about, that the markets have been shifting sentiment around. And we had two major events this week that was meant to be potential shifts of sentiment. First, you have the NVIDIA earnings announcement last night, which arguably blew all expectations out of the water. Both top and bottom line growth exceeded analyst expectations. Guidance exceeded analyst expectations. Yet, what's really interesting is that price action today on NVIDIA is effectively flat, even though we opened up significantly higher, about 3-4% higher on the day. So price action on that alone is not particularly strong. And in my opinion, if anything, confirms the shift in sentiment towards a more bearish view. On top of that, you had the labor market numbers this morning, which, if you look at the numbers at first, it seemed like you had a good numbers in terms of the number of jobs added for September, but you had a pretty significant uptick in unemployment. And what's interesting is really how the market reacted to that news, because initially we reacted very positively, and arguably we would say that a labor market that's recovering, if you will, is a positive sign. But the downside to that is that that changes the calculus the Fed has with regards to whether or not they cut rates in December. And at the moment, there's now closer around a 66% chance that the Fed does not cut in December, which the market was sort of relying on as a potential driver of further upside in terms of equity. And so if you look at kind of how the markets reacted off of the NVIDIA news and then off of the jobs number, that's not a particularly good sign that we fade the moves from today. The one saving grace that we currently have is that if you look at the S&P 500, it has managed to hold the really important support level at 6550. That's a major support level that's going back about 3 months now. One thing that is important to note is that this S&P and the NASDAQ 100, the Russell 2000, the equal weight S&P 500 index, all four major equity indices are now trading below the 50-day moving average. You could potentially first look at that and say that looks quite bearish here, but until it breaks that 65-50 major support level, from my perspective, I actually think the risk-reward right now favors those dip buyers. I would argue that the risk-reward ratio looks the most favorable for dip buyers that we've seen in a long time, because if you were to be a buyer at these specific levels on the S&P and it gets back to its all-time highs, the risk reward versus if it went down even just another 50 points, where if it breaks that major support level, I would say that your bullish view is incorrect. The risk reward on those two possible outcomes is incredibly favorable for equity investors or long dip buyers at the moment. So even though sentiment has shifted quite negatively here over the last couple of weeks, and the fact that all major indices are now trading below the 50-day moving average, I actually think that this could potentially be a buy the dip opportunity, especially if you look at how the VIX has performed today. We opened up near around 27.5. We've now traded back down to around that 25 level here. Let's see where we settle at the end of the week, but it does look like volatility could potentially be at a short-term top, which could potentially mean a reversal higher here for equities.
So I really appreciate the insights. It seems like we've been looking at very similar things. As you mentioned, the macroeconomic picture and earnings have been a major driver of narratives, but kind of like you said too, maybe it's not just one thing, it's everything. But the main level of note, as you mentioned, seems to be that 50-day simple moving average, which had been held since the later part of April and was broken officially last week. And in fact, beforehand, the 20-day moving average seemed to be very important. So we've seen a widening of the markets in that sense. We'll see if bulls want to step in at that level now that it's being tested again. But so far, we've seen downside below that 50-day moving average. We'll see if that 65-50 level doesn't need hold, as you've mentioned. So on that note, if you'd like to get daily live updates and market briefings on these important themes, please join my team, the Trading Strategy Desk's live coaching sessions and market briefings at fidelity.com/coaching. But that being said, I know you have a trade idea to discuss with us today. What is the first trade idea? How can we think about some of those potential opportunities that you mentioned?
Yeah, the first one I want to take a look at here is Meta. And Meta has not been having a good month. The stock is down significantly over the last month or so, but that's really where I prefer to be more of a contrarian and see opportunities where others might be seeing this as a much more bearish play, because Meta remains, in my opinion, one of the most advantaged businesses in the global digital advertising world and social engagement. But where it really excels is in ad growth. They've been accelerating ad growth. They've been applying their AI to advertisers, and they've continued to exceed expectations on their advertising business. And that is what they are using the funds or the profits from that advertising business to fund their ability to potentially dominate within AI. Now, obviously, that's a big unknown at the moment, and investors clearly are concerned about the valuations that these tech companies are trading at, but that's really why I think Meta stands out as its opportunity. If you look at the chart here, the stock obviously has sold off substantially here from well above $700 now to below $600. But that puts the stock now in oversold territory. There's clear signs that sellers are starting to get exhausted. We're seeing that positive divergence between the stock price and momentum. And this and I think Nvidia's earnings today is the potential catalyst that can drive this stock to stop, if you will, the sell-off and potentially reverse higher. Now, my upside target is essentially for this stock to fill that gap that it gapped down from the last earnings report back into the $740 range. Now, the reason that I think that Meta represents one of the best or one of the most compelling opportunities right now within large cap growth is because Meta is now trading at under 20 times forward earnings. That means we're trading up at a pretty significant discount even to the average S&P 500 stock. But there's nothing average about Meta. It's growing top and bottom line in the 13 to 18% range year over year. There are very few stocks of this particular size growing at that pace, with the exception of Nvidia. And then you add on top top of the fact that net profit margins for Meta exceed 30%. So you're seeing a company that's growing substantially faster than the average S&P 500 stock, substantially more profitable than the average S&P 500 stock, yet trading at a pretty substantial discount to the overall market. And that's really where I think the valuations are incredibly compelling and why I see the recent sell-off as an opportunity rather than the signs that this stock is starting to fall apart. You have revenues that are growing in the Q3, 26% quarter over quarter. Advertisement has remained an incredibly strong driver of growth for Meta. They are spending a lot of money on AI and increasing debt levels as a result of that. But I would argue that Meta probably has some of the highest chance of returning capital to investors because they have a very strong ecosystem of 400 million, of a few billion users every single day that they can potentially use these AI products on and monetize that. That's very different than a lot of other AI companies. So I think for that particular reason, especially for Meta, the trading at around 19 times forward earnings is one of the most compelling opportunities in the tech world with regards to AI as your theme. So as long as you don't believe that the AI theme is about to fall apart, I think Meta represents one of the best opportunities in the market. Now, I think the best way to play this is to utilize options because Meta is obviously an expensive stock at around a $600 stock. So the way that I think that you can leverage the upside potential while risking the smallest amount of capital possible is to use a structure like a call vertical spread. And what this gives you is a nearly 2-to-1 risk to reward ratio while risking only $2,345 per contract for this trade versus spending close to $60,000 to buy 100 shares of this particular stock because a call spread gives you control of the same 100 shares, but at a fraction of the capital required, giving you upside exposure with limited risk to the downside. That is only a fraction of buying 100 shares of the stock.
Absolutely. I appreciate that excellent breakdown, Tony, as always. I always like to point out that this is a great example in which traders can combine a variety of perspectives from a top-down approach to a fundamental as well as a technical approach. But as you mentioned, it's a great example of how traders can use options to efficiently allocate to risk. As you mentioned, Meta has seen quite a bit of distribution since September. So a bullish trade here is taking a stance against that. So that being said, a benefit of a bull call spread here for someone who is bullish is that it is a defined risk strategy, allowing a trader to hopefully be rewarded well if they are right, but also be able to limit their losses if they are wrong. So on that note, what would you be looking to do from a risk management perspective if we were to continue to find further downside in Meta?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things that I really look at. And I first of all, I think that's a great question because for every trade that you make, regardless of whether it's an options trade and an equities trade, the first question you should be asking yourself is, what should I do if this trade does not go in the direction I expect it to? And you should have an exit plan, a very clear black and white exit plan as to if the trade does not go in the direction you expected to, when do you get out? So in this particular case, whenever you're using a debit trade structure like what I'm using here in a call vertical, or even if you're just outright buying a call option, let's say you just bought the 605 calls, whatever you spend on that debit structure, I generally have a rule of thumb that if I lose 50% of the premium that I pay in this particular trade, it's time to cut your losses and move on. Because in a trade like this, if you lose, you know, if you're paying roughly $23.50, that equates to around $11.75 in losses on that debit spread. If this $23.50 debit spread loses $11.75, chances are that the stock is not moving in the direction that I expect it to, certainly not in the time frame that I think it's going to happen. So it's better in that particular case to essentially save 50% of the risk that I'm taking on this particular trade for the next trade rather than holding on to it and hope that the trade will come back and become profitable by that expiration date. So the rule of thumb that I generally have is that 50% rule. The one thing I will add to this is that this is a pretty contrarian trade. what I'm doing is I'm trying to buy the stock as low as possible and hope for that we get a quick bounce because the stock is so oversold. But if, let's say, over the next week or so, this stock just continues to tumble, even if it has not reached that 50% level, I might consider getting out, because this is all about timing. I see that the stock is oversold. I see that it's exhausted. I'm expecting that the bounce to happen in a relatively short period of time. And if that doesn't happen, I also may consider to get out and maybe save even more than 50% of the premium that I have risked on this particular trade.
Absolutely. I appreciate that, Tony. So that being said, I know you have another trade idea for us this week to discuss. So what is the second trade idea we have this week? What opportunities are we looking at?
Yeah, so the first trade we looked at was in high, is in mega cap growth. The next one I want to take a look at here is, in this type of market environment, I also want to be a little bit more defensive. You know, I want to play for the potential bounce here with the stocks that might bounce the highest with that high growth name. But if things remain a little bit more challenged, I definitely want to also be a bit more defensive. And for that, I'm looking at Gilead, the drug manufacturer, because, you know, they've transitioned away from being COVID vaccine suppliers, and they've built a really strong business around their HIV franchise, and now they've expanded out into both liver disease and oncology. And, you know, with the recent FDA approval of their twice a year HIV drug, that's been a major driver of growth. And, you know, they've recently expanded into their liver disease and oncology, and that's really what represents a really compelling opportunity for this particular, not particularly well-known drug manufacturer. If you look at the stock chart, you see that the stock has spent, you know, the better part of a year kind of consolidating below that 120 level. And in the last month or so, the stock has started to break out here. And what's really interesting is that the stock has continued to break out and make a new 52-week high as the market started to show weakness here over the last 5 or 6 weeks. So that shows me a very strong relative performance in the market. And that's a really good sign when you see stocks breaking out. You want to see them not only breaking out on an absolute level, but on relative level. That gives you more confidence of that particular breakout. And then you look at the fundamentals. You know, Gilead trades at 14 times forward earnings, which is pretty much in line with all other drug manufacturers. But when you dig a little deeper, you see that Gilead's growing earnings much faster than the average drug manufacturer. We're talking about 24% EPS growth versus around 7 to 8% for the average drug manufacturer. And more importantly, net profit margins are around 27%. Well ahead of the 16 to 18% that we generally find for drug manufacturers. So when you have a company that's growing significantly faster and more profitable, but trading at the same valuation as the rest of its peers, that's really where I think there's an upside opportunity in the fundamentals of this particular stock. So the structure that I want to make on this particular trade is a simple one. I know, over the last couple of hours, if you've been viewing the OIC event, you know, you've been learning a lot about kind of some of the simpler option strategies, such as long buying a call option. So I just want to use this simple call structure here, going out to January and buying the 120 calls. Earlier today, you can pay a little over $10, $10.65 specifically to buy those January 120 calls. And these are calls that are quite a bit in the money. And I specifically wanted to buy an in the money call option because that limits the extrinsic value that I have to pay on this call option. So that by that January expiration, the stock just has to be above $130.65 in order for this stock to, in order for this strategy to be profitable. So the stock really only has to move a few dollars higher before that January expiration in order to break even, which is one of the biggest challenges with buying a call option, is overcoming the break-even price. And in this particular case, I'm risking just a little over $1,000 per contract versus the roughly $12,000 that I'd be risking if I bought 100 shares of Gilead. So I'm risking in this particular case around 8% of the stock's value while maintaining unlimited upside exposure in this particular trade using a simple call option structure.
Absolutely. I appreciate that excellent breakdown, Tony. The fun dichotomy of these two trades is that they are both bullish trades, but they're differentiated by that one leg versus two perspective. One benefit we get in the prior trade is the premium that we bring in on the short call, offsetting the cost of the long call, especially if we are doing so as we are a meta in a contrarian capacity. But that trade-off that we must make when we do that is that it caps our upside potential. For this trade, We have the ability to capture the potential upside that we would expect if we are indeed bullish, but we do so in a way that is unencumbered by a short call and also still allows us to express that bullish outlook in a capacity efficiently, or I'm sorry, in a capitally efficient way and risk limited way. If we are right, we are hopefully right in a similar way as we would be with a long stock position. But if we are wrong, we are only risking the premium that we paid at the onset of the trade. So that being said, now that we've covered these new trade ideas, it's time we review a trade idea from a prior episode. These lookbacks generally very helpful for newer options traders because it allows them to see how the risks and reward opportunities have played out in the real world. So with that being said, which trade are we looking back on today, Tony?
I want to take a look at NVIDIA now that it just reported earnings, because a couple of weeks ago, we laid out a bullish thesis on NVIDIA. When it broke out above 200, our view was that based on valuations, this stock still had plenty of room to run to the upside. And with the earnings catalyst coming up, that could be the potential catalyst that would drive that momentum here to the upside. Now, even though NVIDIA has exceeded analyst expectations all around from both the earnings and guidance, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of weakness here in the broader markets over the last couple of weeks that's kept the stock relatively lower since then. So we bought the December 200-235 call spread at the time for a little over $12. Now, that debit spread is trading around that 50% level. Excuse me. But because that earnings announcement came out so positive, I am inclined to potentially hold on to this trade. But I do want to suggest making an adjustment to the trade, because with the new news and the fact that the time has gone by, nearly 3 weeks of time have gone by since we entered this trade and the stock is a little bit lower, the upside potential is no longer 235, in my opinion. So what I want to do here is I want to close out or buy back the 235 call option in my vertical spread. Earlier today, you can buy that back for about 79 cents. And what I want to do is I want to construct a new bull call spread by selling a lower strike price. I'm going out to December and looking at the 215 strike price. If I were to sell that, I can bring in about $2.78, which brings in a net credit between the leg that I'm buying back and the leg that I'm selling at just a shy of $2 at $1.99. And what that allows me to do is basically maintain upside potential if NVIDIA were to recover and trade back up into that 215 level by that December expiration. But at the same time, what I'm doing is I'm taking a little bit of profit off the table. And what that does is it lowers my total risk on the trade. So now my total combined max risk is now only $1,036. Versus a little over $1,200 before. It does lower my maximum gain potential on this particular trade, but I'm okay taking that risk, that new risk reward ratio, because the market has changed since I entered this trade 3 weeks ago. The trend is no longer in the same favor as I had before. So I do have to take a modified risk to reward ratio, maintaining upside exposure, reducing some risk. And this allows me to still have the potential of making a profit on this trade, but it increases my profitability or potential of profit on this trade versus if I just held the original position and tried to hold that to expiration.
Absolutely. So I just want to recap a few things for the audience on that trade. So originally we had the long strike. We had bought the 200 strike call. We had sold the 235. We are keeping the 200 strike that we bought, but we are buying to close the 235, selling to open the 215. So essentially we're rolling just the short strike down. And I just wanted to point out, this is a tad different than our normal approach or your normal approach when you normally are managing trades that have gone well. So if you don't mind just expanding exactly, I know we mentioned we're rolling the strikes down, that changes our best case scenario, but we monetize some capital. What kind of led you to this decision more specifically on this one of, say, rolling just the short strike versus rolling the entirety of the option?
Yeah. So in this particular case, I don't want to roll the entire option, because if I roll the entire option, I would have to trade it for a debit. And that would mean that I'm basically throwing more money on a trade that's already at a loss. I don't want to do that, because that's the habit that I always want to avoid, is to throw good money after bad money on a trade that's clearly already not working. But what I want to do is based on the actual results of the earnings, which were incredibly positive. And on top of that, I find that the valuation remains incredibly compelling for NVIDIA. It's now trading at 27, 28 times forward earnings, which if you look at the fact that it's expecting to grow both top and bottom line by, you know, north of 35, 40% and net profit margins are around 52%, there's just no stock in those particular realm in terms of growth and profitability that's only trading at 27, 28 times forward earnings. So I still have a lot of conviction in my bullish view on this, on the trade in the long run, but in the short run between now and December expiration, I have to admit that the original target of 235 is less likely. So what I'm trying to do is basically readjust my trade to have a lower expectation in terms of where the stock can be by that December expiration, while at the same time reducing a little bit of risk, which is going to improve my potential of profit of this particular trade. So I'm basically trying to make the best out of a scenario that hasn't worked out exactly the way I expected to.
Excellent. You know, that's such a fun topic of conversation, as always, of how we manage trades as they are playing out. Because like you mentioned, we get to keep some of our upside. We get to book some of the gains that we do have on one side of the transaction, reduce our cost basis and things to that extent. So appreciate that by all means, Tony. And that being said, that does bring us to a close for this part of the End of the Money event, part of this hour we have together. So I want to thank Tony, as always, for being an excellent host, bringing some compelling trade ideas to the show. For the next few minutes, we will be looking at what actually placing and monitoring of these trades can look like. We will be doing so in Fidelity Trader Plus. We'll have our disclosures up for a brief moment. As always, I want to point out for people, fidelity.com/in the money follow-up is where you can find my team and myself, a session hosted on Friday afternoons to recap these trades and take a look at it through the lens of options traders. You can sign up again for that class, fidelity.com/in the money follow-up, as well as checking out where you can find a few different important things. Fidelity Active Investor Newsletter, where we strive to provide meaningful and timely trading insights right to your inbox by going to fidelity.com/activeinvestorweekly. As well, you can register for future In the Money events at fidelityevents.com/in the money.
Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of characteristics and risks of standardized options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options, such as spreads, straddles, and collars, as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you're most comfortable with. As with all of your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Indexes are unmanaged. It is not possible to invest directly in an index. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play, and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC. Copyright 2024 FMR LLC. All rights reserved. 1109225.1.0. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC.